Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Hey friends, I'm your host, Leenie Heiss, and welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast. I think you're going to find today's conversation with preschool expert Heidi Franz so informative and reassuring. We hope you love listening in on our conversation about laying the framework early for faith in your child's heart and within the walls of your home. It really is all about lacing our days with prayer. And now, it's my pleasure to introduce you to my friend, the creator of the ABC Jesus Loves Me curriculum, Heidi Franz. Well, my friend Heidi, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Lee.
We have known each other for years, and I can't wait for our audience to get to know you and your passion for motherhood. So would you please introduce yourself to our audience?
Oh, thank you, Lee. I'm so glad to be here. As you stated, my name is Heidi Franz, and I am the owner and creator of ABC Jesus Loves Me, which is a preschool curriculum website that desires to empower adults, teachers, and moms to be intentional with their kids, however that looks, but to give them tools and tips along the way.
Well, tell us a little bit about your family too, because you're a mom and a wife.
That is true. Yes. My husband and I have been married for 21 years and we have four kids, ages 8 to 15. And I am a farm girl from Kansas who God has planted in Arkansas. So I am learning the ways of bigger city life, I guess you could say, compared to the small rural town.
I'm doing that too. You know that's true, except the exact opposite.
That's exactly right.
Hauled to a small rural town. So that's a part of our story. Heidi, as I think about intentional people, God has always just brought you to mind. Mm-hmm. So when I think about purposeful motherhood, I've seen that passion in you. Tell me about that and where that purposefulness began and how this passion for seeing kids come to know Jesus began.
Oh, that's a fantastic question. I grew up in an amazing family. My grandparents were 4 miles from my house, my aunt and uncles. I saw all of them every Sunday at church. I went to school with all my cousins, and God was shared in everything that we did. And I desire that when I taught in the schools. But then when God gave us a little boy of our own, I pulled back from the schools and began teaching him at home. And I just saw that the brokenness in moms who desired to be intentional with their kids, but they didn't know where to start. They wanted to teach the Bible to them. They wanted to show them how much God loves them, but they didn't have the tools or the understanding of where to start. And so that's what I did. I just started laying out some ideas that I had learned. All my ideas are stolen. I laid out some ideas that I had learned to be able to share with other moms and teachers.
I know that as we started motherhood together in the same women's group, that I would watch the intentionality that you would show with your son, who was actually younger than my son too. And I just thought, what a gift it was to be able to watch somebody who had been raised in an environment that had been intentional as well.
Well, you are very kind, because I was floundering with each moment. As you know, our oldest had open heart surgery, and from the very first few months of his life, we were floundering is probably the best word. I came into parenting thinking I had all the knowledge and experience through babysitting and teaching. This was going to be super easy. And God showed me right off that I was going to need him, that I could not stand on my own two feet. And between his issues from being in the NICU and CVICU for a month, and his issues with sensory processing and development delays and the slew of issues that he had, I didn't know what to do. And I needed the help of God, and I needed the help of wise people around me. And so my husband encouraged me as I was learning in this process that we weren't alone. There were other parents who were going through the same thing. And he encouraged me to put what I was learning on the internet. And that's when ABC Jesus Loves Me was born. Was out of a desire to come alongside moms who were struggling and confused and overwhelmed and were crying themselves to sleep each night because they didn't know how to parent the way they desired to parent.
So how did you begin to see preschool not just something to be survived, Heidi? Because I remember thinking when all of our kids were little, oh my gosh, just get me through the day. When did you start to see, like, these little years are really, really important?
Well, I've heard it said that the first 5 years are those foundational years, and I believe it so much because those are the years that they are sponges. They are watching absolutely everything we do, everything we say. And I also learned on a very practical way that I could pick them up and move them. Now that I have a teenager, I can't do that anymore. And so I had a lot more ability to help them make those better choices and to explain to them why those choices were there. I read a quote that said, "Research shows that children learn more in their first 8 years than they do in the rest of their lives." Whoa. So if you take a person who is 88 years old, they have learned more in the first 8 than the last 80. And so with that quote, I really saw that I have got to be intentional in these first 8 years of teaching them how to learn, of course, academics, and to develop their bodies so that they have the strength to hold a pencil and they have the ability to do the things, kick the ball and catch the ball. But more importantly, to teach them there is a God who is crazy about them. And for them to understand at a young age, they make bad choices. Mommy makes bad choices. But there is a God who will help us. And to direct them and turn them towards that salvation that only God can provide.
So we know that pointing our kids to Jesus is vital. But I know that there are moms listening who say, I've never seen this modeled for me. How do I do this, Heidi? How do I start with this 2-year-old that God has dropped into my lap? How do I make faith a priority for this 2-year-old?
I think faith becomes a priority for the 2-year-old when it's a priority for mommy. When I am modeling it for my kids, when they see me in the mornings reading the word, praying, when they see me praying with them before meals, but even more practically, when they see me praying when they're hurting, when they are struggling with maybe self-control, or they just see it lived out in their daily lives. Because God doesn't just want to be part of our lives on Sunday mornings and maybe Wednesday nights. God wants to be part of my life every single moment. And to show our kids that, they say that virtues are caught more than taught. And so that is what I have learned in my parenting, is that God desires for me to live out what he is teaching me. And my kids are seeing that. A few days ago, I wasn't at my best. I was a little cranky. And one of my kids looked at me and said, "Mom, have you had your quiet time yet?" And I said, "No, I haven't." And he said, "Well, I think you need to." I knew he was right, because he saw in me that when I'm not starting my day, spending time in the Word, praying about my day, giving my day over to God, my life is different because I am living a self-centered life. When I say to God, "This is your day, the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice in this day," it's going to change everything. Yes, I'm still going to get frustrated. I'm still going to get upset. The day is not going to be perfect. But overall, it's going to change things.
Yes, absolutely, positively. Not that we have to be perfect, but that this starts somewhere. And it starts with us. I don't know about you, but I remember at the beginning of speech therapy with my daughter, I know you've had some speech therapy in your home too, they said. And we're going to teach you the talk, talk, talk model, which is you're going to talk about everything. So if your child is struggling with verbal processing and language, then it's important for you to actually increase the amount of language that they hear in your home. And so I've always seen it as completely relevant in things of faith too. So absolutely. I remember with my daughter Gabby saying, oh, your shoes are pink. Let's tie your pink shoes. One shoe, two shoe, you know, and we're just talking about every little thing. Do you remember that, Heidi? It's just like,
absolutely.
You're talking absolutely. About everything, but right. faith is relevant like that too, especially when you have these little bitty ones running around. It's important to have that same, like, Jesus created this day. Isn't yeah. he so good to us? We need Jesus to show up right now. Look at how he wants us to behave. You know, it just talk, talk, talk.
That is exactly correct. I call those teachable moments. Those are God-given opportunities that if we grasp them, and that's the key word, we have to grasp these teachable moments. If we grasp them, he is going to give us an awesome opportunity to teach our children about him. And that can be something so simple as a rainbow, is just taking that moment and academically talking about the colors, but spiritually and with faith, teaching them the story of Noah and how that rainbow is a promise. When we see an opportunity where our children are maybe not obeying, to be able to explain to them, you know what, there are characters in the Bible that we can talk about. They didn't make good decisions either. A prime example is David in the Bible. He did not make good decisions, but he came to God with a repentive heart. And to be able to explain to our kids in those moments where they haven't made a good decision, that David is like them, or they're like David, and they have an opportunity to go to a loving God, a forgiving God. And that also makes the Bible more real to them. It isn't this thing that David is just this guy who lived thousands of years ago. David was a man just like Daddy. And just like you will be when you grow up. And he made mistakes, but he turned to God and God forgave him and loved him.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I love is how you have taught that faith isn't just something that stays in the area where we're talking about the Bible. Faith is actually about science too, that God has created truth. Talk to us about education and the Lord.
Oh, fantastic question. I'm writing some poems for teaching kids colors right now, like the color red. And even in that poem, God created that color red. And so the last line is God created beautiful colors. Something so simple as the color of red can turn children back to God. Something as simple as the weather and how that Jesus calmed the storm. Jesus is the only one who can calm that storm. But when we talk about the clouds and the rain coming, that God is controlling every single aspect of that.
And isn't it so important that our kids begin to learn to understand that all learning comes from the Lord? If it's true, it belongs to God. I don't know about you, but as our kids have moved from preschool into elementary school, and now we're in high school, it is so good that we have taught them from the beginning that if it is true, it belongs to God. Because now our kids that are older need to know that when the school tries to separate those two things, that they're permanently linked.
And we also talk about with my older kids, when they have a test and they do really well on that test, they did really well because of God. They didn't do really well because they studied or because they're smart. They did really well because God gave them the brain to bring him glory. And God gave them the ability to study. God gave them a home that is quiet that they can study in. God gave them that teacher. God gave them the answers as they were taking that test. Every single step of the way, I feel one of my most important jobs as a parent is to point them back to God, because he is the reason. and he deserves the glory.
So good. Well, I know that you have a child that has, I call them developmental differences. I don't know what we're supposed to say right now, but both of us have experience looking at our preschooler and saying, I don't think something's right. Will you describe that to me? And I know that there are preschool moms listening who are thinking through that situation for themselves.
Absolutely. And Lee, I remember conversations when our boys were little and talking through that with you going, Lee, there's something here. I don't know what it is. What are you experiencing? And in those particular two kids, you weren't experiencing the same things I was. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to turn. And finally, at Bubs's 3-year well child checkup, his pediatrician suggested that we go see an occupational therapist. And I remember so well, to the point that I know what I had on, and I'm not into fashion, but I knew what I was wearing. I just remember the situation so well, sitting there looking into this occupational therapist's eyes saying, I will do absolutely anything you tell me to do. I just want my little boy back. Begging her to help me help my son. And at 3 years old, that began a process of 11 years of therapy that he went through, from occupational therapy to speech therapy, helping him be able to do the things that God created him to do. And it was hard. It was excruciating. It was overwhelming. And I felt so alone because I couldn't find another mom who understood. And then finally, one day I was talking actually with a neighbor, and we were talking about how when I pour syrup on Bub's pancakes, if I didn't pour the syrup in the right place, he could cry for an hour and a half, just wail for an hour and a half. And I realize now that the meltdown that he had had very little to do with the syrup. What it had to do with is he was unable to calm himself and be able to get his emotions back in order so that he could move on. And that's where the occupational therapy came into play so strongly. And then as he grew, he was unable to explain things to me. And so I learned through his amazing speech path how to help him write, to draw and write down what had happened so I could understand those stories. But none of that would have happened if I would have stayed at home and just sat and hoped it went away. It wouldn't have. I needed to pull in, and praise God that he supplied wise women and neuropsychologists and pediatricians and therapists and counselors to be able to come around us. And when that happened, the enemy wanted to hit me strong with the lies that I failed as a mom, that I wasn't enough, that I should have been able to deal with this. I had an education degree, but it was a lie. God does not ask me to be everything for my children. Yes, he asked me to learn and come alongside, but he's not expecting me to be all. And so I think that's probably the biggest thing that I learned in all of this, that God is going to supply if I seek him. Through all of Bubs's issues, I hit bottom. I absolutely hit bottom. My husband will say that God took Heidi to a place in her life that not having a daily quiet time was not an option. Mm-hmm. I had to daily have a quiet time, or I was not going to have the strength I needed to direct, lead, love on my children in the way they needed. Mm-hmm. And it completely changed my life.
And that didn't make this easier. It made it possible, right? Like,
yes, that is very well said. It didn't make it easier. It did not fix Bubs's problems. Our third child, little man, has severe ADHD, and he has the ability to focus as that of a squirrel, but he has the memory of an elephant. Those two combinations are a nightmare for a parent. And I've cried more tears over that child than the other three combined. But it didn't fix Bubs's problems with his developmental delays. Having a daily quiet did not fix little man's lack of impulse control. But what it did is it allowed me to begin to pull on the strength that God wanted to give me. I was trying to parent by myself, parent on my own strength, parent on my background, on my education. And God said, yeah, no, mm-hmm. It's not going to work. I want you to come beside me. Jesus talks about taking my yoke. I want you to get in the yoke with me. We're going to work together through this. We're going to walk through this parenting journey. It's not going to be easy. My work is not easy because it's kingdom work and you are in a sinful world, but I'm going to give you the strength so that when you go to bed at night, you are going to be exhausted, but you're not going to be depleted.
And this is relying on his strength is so vital, but relying on that our identity is secure as his child and that we can be good moms, whether our kids are academically successful or not, whether their behavior is crazy. I almost laugh out loud thinking that you would have a child unable to focus because you have always been so focused, driven, and it seems like have it all together. So there's a process that we go through where we have to unwind our identities from the way that Absolutely. Our child is turning out, right?
Absolutely. That is so true. And my kids, we have a joke in the house that, you know, I go around to different states and talk to parents about biblical discipline, talk to teachers about biblical discipline in their classroom. And yet there are times that my volume is not the level in which it should be. Quite frankly, I get angry with my children. And it's a joke in our family that sometimes my kids will look at me and say, hey, mom, as a job, you teach parents how to parent. And I'm like, yeah. And I also tell parents at these conferences that I make mistakes and I share the good, bad, and the absolute ugly. But the truth is that even though I am training parents on biblical discipline, I still have to choose every day to use it myself.
Yep.
And the part about identity, I've had more phone calls from the school than a oak tree has acorns. It is a normal part of our life, but my identity is in who God has created me to be, how God feels about me, and I have to rest in the fact that I am doing what God has asked me to do. My son's choices are his,
yeah,
and I can't own them. As much as I want to put him in a bubble and make sure that he doesn't embarrass me, He's got to make his own choices. And what I have to do is come alongside him and love him through those poor choices, not take away his consequences because he needs to learn. But I have to separate myself from what my children do and how people perceive our family.
Yep. And it's important for us who are listening, who have quote unquote normal kids, to not believe the lie that because we look like we have it all together, that we have it all together. There are people who have very normal families who don't seek the Lord the way that we do, or that don't experience the struggle that we do. That doesn't make them better. And if we are lacking problems, it doesn't make us better either.
Exactly. Exactly. I always say that if my second child and fourth child were the only ones I had, I would be a parenting expert because they are really easy children to raise. 1 and 3 have kept me very humble. But God has shown me in such a powerful way that God created Bubs the way he created him. That first month of his life was not a mistake. The 11 years of therapy that he received was not a mistake. Just as the same way, little man has a brain and how it works and how it functions and how he thinks is amazing. Right now, It is a huge burden, but I know that God is going to use that brain in such an amazing way. And so I see that when I get frustrated as a parent, when I want to give up, when I want to throw in the towel because I feel like what I'm doing is not working, that God has a plan for this child. And my job right now is to persevere and not give up on him. My husband tells me all the time, Heidi, this is a marathon. We are doing what God has called us to do. We have firm boundaries. We are setting consequences. We are loving them through all of this. Keep doing what we're supposed to be doing, and God will bless that. That does not mean that little man at 22 is going to be the perfect adult. I have no doubt that there are still a lot of tears ahead in our future, because God doesn't promise us a perfect child if we do A, B, C. But God does promise me that he hears my prayers, that if I am following and seeking him, that he will bless that.
I imagine prayer has played a really important role in your journey. Tell me about that.
It has. Praying is something that I would say that I have grown probably more in my spiritual life in prayer than in anything else. And I think because I had this envision that prayer was supposed to be this elaborate, extensive activity. And I think you talk about this in your book as well, that I had this view that prayer was supposed to be something that it's not. And when I first started doing quiet time, after I fell flat on my face and realized I needed God and I needed to know God, I would read the Bible and then I would pray. And I just felt like it was clunky and it just didn't seem to work. And I felt like I was wasting my time. And I just kept hearing the Holy Spirit say, Heidi, show up. Just show up. Make this time important. Make sure that it's happening. Yes, when my kids were little, I had to get up and take them to the bathroom. And then I would come back, or we would have a fight breaking out, and I would have to deal with that until I trained them to the point now that they know when mommy is sitting with her Bible and her quiet time journal, you don't interrupt me unless somebody is not breathing or the house is on fire. We want people to breathe. But don't interrupt me unless the house is on fire or somebody is bleeding. Other than that, that is my time with God. And so the prayer process, and I think that's probably a good way to describe it, it's been a process. It takes time. It takes humility. It takes perseverance of me showing up and saying, God, I deeply desire to know who you are. And I deeply desire for you to lead my life.
This prayer process that you're talking about is probably what we would call perseverance, right? Like, that's one of the things that we are looking to produce in our kids, but it also is doing that in us, especially in these little years that you're talking to us about. Is, yes, you're going to have to put your kid back in their spot. Yes, you're going to have to say 10 times, Mommy is spending time with the Lord right now. I'll be done in just a few minutes. You can wait. That requires perseverance on our part. But when we teach them to persevere, when we persevere ourselves, we're growing.
Absolutely. And it is so worth it. I continually, every day, look at the time and go, oh man, my time's up. 6:15, my quiet time is over. And I've got to start helping my kiddos and making sure that they're doing what they're supposed to do. And I can say in the most humble way that that is what I love about my quiet time. Now I wish I had more and more and more time. But it did not start out that way.
Yep.
It used to be that I would open my Bible begging God to please show me anything. Just please make this worth my time. Show up in some way. And it took a long time, many months, many years for me to get to the point where I learned to listen to God and I learned to dig. Because what I want, I'm reading through the Old Testament right now. And oh, golly, the Old Testament's rough. Especially those minor prophets. And I want so badly to just skip them and move to the New Testament. But God is saying, I have something to tell you, even in those hard spots. If you will dig, I will show you. And I want to be lazy even in my quiet time. I don't want to dig deep. I want it to just be surface so I can move on, check it off. But when I dig deep is when God shows up in such a huge way and I see something in my life that maybe needs to be tweaked or it needs to have a different focus or I get some direction on what I need to do in that time. But it did not start out that way. It took a long time to get to that point. And I can say that I am so thankful I persevered. And I'm so thankful for myself, but I'm thankful for my kids because they have seen the difference. And now when my daughter is looking at verses about who God is and how God created her, she is seeing that it blessed mommy and it's going to bless her as well.
So good. I wonder if you could give us a starting place for the moms of preschoolers who are listening right now. They want to take the first action step, but give us just one place to start, Heidi, being intentional about discipling our kids.
I think the first place to start in discipling your kids is to pull God from the moments that you have. Because instead of just setting a snack in front of them, you can set that snack in front of them and say out loud, God, thank you for this snack. When you are angry with your child because they have spilt the dog water bowl for the 470th time and you're angry and you are frustrated, you can out loud say a prayer of, Lord, I need you right now because my human flesh wants to handle this poorly. And I need your wisdom. And let your kids see you asking God for the help. You can pull God into the situations when they are having a sibling rivalry and ask the kids, are you loving each other? We go back to the great commandment of loving God and loving others and helping your kids see what is love. Were they patient with their sibling? Were they kind with their sibling? If they weren't, what does that look like? And how should they have handled that situation? Sometimes it's just role-playing again and reacting a situation so that kids have an opportunity to make the right choice.
Mm-hmm. I think that's great. It's a great place to start. Heidi, as we wrap up our time together, would you mind praying for the moms, especially the preschool moms that are listening right now?
I would love to. Thank you. Dear God, I just lift up every mom who is listening to this podcast. God, I pray that right now they would know that you see them, that you are with them. They see every time that they are washing dishes, they are doing laundry, they are picking up toys. You see that. Even when they feel like they are unseen. God, I thank you that you are with us. God, I thank you that you love us enough to give us your word, to give us your Holy Spirit, to come and meet with us in those times. God, I pray for each one of those women that you would make their time in the word precious. That when they get discouraged, that they would keep showing up and not give up because God, you are worth it and you're precious and you love us. God, I pray also for these preschool moms that you would provide them with godly women. God, I'm so thankful for Lee and where she came into my life. It's such an important part. God, I pray that you would provide these women with friends like Lee that will just love on them where they are and encourage them to grow in you. God, I also pray that you would provide them with older women to mentor them, to help them discern from all the noise that they receive in the world. God, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Pretty reassuring, right? If you find yourself facing fears about this motherhood journey, there is no safer place to run than straight to our Heavenly Father. And by all means, get thyself to your Moms in Prayer group. If you're new to Moms in Prayer, jump on our website immediately at momsinprayer.org and find easy directions on how to find or start a group. It's so easy, and our coordinators are waiting and praying you'll reach out. You aren't alone in this, and our prayer training could revolutionize your motherhood. It sure did mine. You can find today's show notes and ways to connect further with Heidi on the blog at momsinprayer.org. Moms are making the difference, friends. Moms sweeping up Play-Doh and Cheerios. Moms just like you. See you next week.